All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
The Penn Cinema Podcast, increasingly known also as the show about nothing. Hey, it worked for Seinfeld.
Right. Exactly.
And we're pretty much the same as him, right?
And it worked for the Pirates and VeggieTales, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, oh, my God.
It's working out. So, what, we're in week 400,000 of quarantine.
Right.
Things in our area are starting to open up, which is very exciting. A little scary, but very exciting at the same time, because it's like, do you want to be the first person to go out to eat, or do you want to let a bunch of people go out to eat and see what happens?
Right. You go right ahead. Let me know how that works out. I went out to dinner last night with my wife and my girls, and it was our first time going out to dinner in, 3 months? Literally.
Yeah,
so it was actually really exciting. We were, you know, I have a new pet peeve. You know what my problem is?
What's your problem? With
I'm going to tell you my problem, because I got a problem. And it's a problem that 4 months ago, you could have never described how this would be relevant. And now it's a daily problem.
Oh, boy.
All right. I'm going to tell you my problem. You know what my problem is?
What?
My problem is people who wear their face mask but don't cover their nose. Right?
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, all right, if you're going to be that person that doesn't wear a face mask, whatever, you know, but all right. Or that person who, like, wears it around their chin, like you're stupid, but okay.
Yeah.
If you're going to be the person like us who is smart and wears their face masks, then commit. But if you don't have your nose in your face mask, it's irrelevant.
What's the point? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So our waitress, I won't tell you where we went because I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus. It's all good. But our waitress was one with the mask over her mouth and not over her nose, which, like, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was funny because I came home and I was all excited, like, oh, wasn't that awesome? This is so great. We can go out to dinner again. And Amy came home and she was like, I'm never leaving the house again.
Yeah, I was going to ask because, I mean, she's in the medical field and she's crazy professor, doctor, science lady.
Yeah, she's wicked smart and she's had our family. We've been very serious about the quarantine and we're taking it seriously and we still are. But yeah, it was interesting. Like our relative comfort level being outside, being out and about is different between the four of us. But I mean, all four of us, you know, we wear our masks and, you know, we wash our hands, we wear gloves when we're shopping and, you know, we're on board, but yeah, I came home from dinner in one mood. She came, not that she was in a bad mood, because we had a great time. It was a lot of fun. It's always fun going out to dinner with the kids and stuff. But it was just two different perspectives. That's all. So it sounds like from you didn't go out to dinner yet.
Not yet. But I'm seeing people today. So
okay,
we're doing our bond night, which is we were every month at 7.
Yeah.
On the 7th, we were watching Bond, and we haven't met for 3 months. And this is the first time we're going to do a doubleheader, but we're doing it today. And we're going to have a little picnic, and it's kind of like the first time.
Well, how are you going to watch a movie?
With my eyes.
See, David, this is why nobody likes you.
Yeah. Oh, only this reason?
Just this once.
I'm assuming we're going to sit like fairly decently apart in a, they have a decent sized living room. So I don't think it's not like it's less than 10 people. So, I mean, realistically, it'll probably be 5. So it's not like a huge group of people or whatever, but we also haven't, you know, we've been safe. And now that everything's kind of moved up, we're allowing a little bit of leniency.
I think that's smart. I think that's, you know, at some point, right, we got to, you know, move back. And yeah. I think if you're careful with your close friends, I know, I think that's little baby steps here. But anyway, that's exciting. So do you know what Bond movie is on tap tonight?
Yeah, it's 2 and 3 of Pierce Brosnan. So it's... The World Is Not Enough and Die Another Day? Is that it? No.
I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. It's, yeah. I don't think, he did 4, so I don't think Die Another Day was his last one. Anyway, it's his second and third one.
So. You know, in the lobby in the Effort of Theater at the New Main, we got, right before we closed, we got this really sweet banner for Daniel Craig in No Time to Die.
Oh, nice.
It's so cool looking, and I'm tempted. I think what I'm going to do is just leave it up. I mean, they're going to show the movie.
Yeah.
Who cares if it says April of 2020?
Right.
You know, I'm still going to show the movie. I'm going to leave it up.
Just slap a little duct tape over the date.
Yeah, there you go. Some flex tape.
All right. Well, this week, I mean, I think we'd be remiss to not, you know, mention that the world's been, well, here in the States, it's been going through a lot. And so there hasn't been a lot of news this week, and I think that's rightfully so. A lot of companies have kind of stepped back and said, hey, look, we're not making announcements this week. We're not really talking about stuff because we should not be taking the focus away from the civil rights movement that's currently been going on. And I applaud the stance that these companies are making by not trying to overshadow or distract from what's going on. However, there is a few little tidbits of stuff here, you know, because people are always talking. So, you know, the news still happens even when it's a stretch.
Yeah.
So, Tenet, it's going to be here before we know it. When's that release date? Like tomorrow?
July 17th. And I keep telling myself it's going to be here before we know it.
Yeah, exactly. In the week of, you're going to be like, can you believe Tenet comes out this week?
Right. That's exactly what's going to happen. All of a sudden, it's going to be coming out tomorrow.
So Kenneth Branagh, we're going to probably know how to say this guy's name really well once this movie comes out, because we'll be hearing it all over the place. He has no idea if he's playing a bad guy in Tenet. He says, given the nature of it, as Chris, to some extent, sort of reinvents the wheel here, a lot of people start engaging with John David Washington's character in both expected ways and unexpected ways. So you might expect to see me as an antagonist, but then the story doesn't quite follow what you might expect as the story plays out. And that's something that he told Total Film. I think that's really interesting. I read the whole article, but in it he goes on to talk about how they didn't film the movie in order. And I guess one of the premises of the film is communication through time, not necessarily time travel. So with that aspect, he never really had he was constantly asking, where is my character coming from? Because it wasn't filmed in order and it wasn't filmed in chronological in any way. So it was kind of like they couldn't really tell what was going on. So I think that's really interesting. I think it'll make for lots of interesting twists and turns. Shenanigans.
I think that anytime the star of any given movie doesn't, and I don't even know if I believe his statement here. I feel like he might, you know,
he's
right. But, you know, let's take it at face value and say that he doesn't know if he's a good guy or bad guy. Like, I think that's a great sign. It's completely consistent with what we know and love about Christopher Nolan. I just think it's, I am so excited for this movie, Tenet, and I am scared to death that it like, I really wanted to open up. I really wanted to open on July 17th. It's going to be interesting. We've been having a lot of chatter among the other studios because Warner Brothers' official position is, yeah, it's opening on July 17th. But of course, that's a really tightly run studio. So nobody in that organization is, they're not usually prone to like whisper secrets to you. Like they pretty much tell you the company line and that's it. But not all the studios are like that. And I have been talking to some studios who are telling me that they do think that it is, you know, going to open on July 17th. Because I asked the question, should we be worried about Regal? You know, if Regal and Carmike and AMC, we'll talk about AMC in a minute, but if those larger chains don't open or don't fully open, what could that do to the release date? And I mean, as crazy as it sounds, the word on the street is that Tenet is going to open with or without Regal.
Wow.
Which what that really tells me, like, I don't believe for a second that Tenet would open without Regal. So when I hear that kind of statement, what I really read into that is that Regal is not going to, remember last week we talked about how Regal's going to open all or nothing?
Yeah.
Like every theater in the country on the same day. And I think that when you tell me that Tenet is going to open with or without Regal, what that really tells me is that Regal is going to open some theaters on one day, some theaters on another day, one week, next month. You know, I don't think it's realistic for Regal to just go all or nothing because it makes no sense. I mean, a theater in downtown New York City is having a totally different experience than, you know, on Airport Road in Lititz.
Right.
So,
right.
Hey, good job cueing the sirens as soon as we say New York City. It's like we're there.
Little did you know. We like to move where we record every week. We're in NYC this week.
So speaking of AMC,
yeah.
There's some word that they might not make it out of quarantine. What do we make of that? Like, and what? What a wild – that's like finding out that McDonald's might not make it out of quarantine.
Right. There's a couple things I took from this, and the explanation was even if they are allowed to open, there's going to be new social distancing guidelines and rules, and they're not going to be able to sell out the theaters instantly. Like they're not going to be able to 100% fill the theater because they're going to have to allow spacing.
Right.
And it's just like they can't project that day one business will be back to usual and they can recoup their losses.
Right.
So they're saying during this time they're not making any revenue. And as a result
No shit.
Yeah. And as a result, you know, they've got bills to pay and it's just getting closer and closer to when that's gonna become too much to care about. Or to take care of. But I don't see this as AMC will go away. Like, they have so many theaters, I could see them liquidating their properties.
Mm.
You know, before we say AMC is, like, gone. There are definitely areas in big metropolitan areas where there's AMC theaters, like, fairly close together.
Yeah, I think we have to get into, I don't want to turn this into a financial Bloomberg radio show, but like AMC and to some degree Regal, but with AMC, it's the vast majority of their properties are leaseholds.
Right.
So I think that I agree with you that there's no way that AMC kind of disappears, although it could. But what I do think is if you're listening to this show and your local neighborhood movie theater is at AMC, I think there's a decent chance. Well, first of all, wouldn't that be weird? I wonder, do we have anybody that listens to this show that Penn Cinema is not? Now, I understand everybody goes to multiple theaters. We all do that. Good for you. But is there anybody listening to this show, podcast@penncinema.com? If you are listening to the show, but Penn Cinema is not your go-to movie theater.
Oh, I'm sure. We have a decent amount of listeners in other states that there aren't Penn Cinemas.
Well, so we should fix that.
Yeah. Well, hey, you got you got my boy Jim out in Kearney, Nebraska, who's been like, hey, I'm ready to manage your new theater.
Oh, that's right.
So
that's right. All right. So anyway, so that's what I'm saying is if your local neighborhood movie theater is an AMC, there's a pretty decent chance that within a year or two, you will still be going to the same building to see movies, but it will be run. It'll still be owned by the same landlord, the same mall operator, probably General Growth Properties. But there's a pretty good chance there will be a different operator running that movie theater.
Right. Right.
So,
and that actually brings me to something that I took as a positive spin on this. And only because coming from where we are is if you've got these properties that are relatively been kept up for theater and then AMC goes out. I mean, we've got AMC and Regal have been the big guys for so long and pushing out the small guys. All of a sudden you've got these big guys moving out and it might give a chance for the next Penn Ketchum to come by and be like, hey, look, I've wanted to have a theater. The stuff's already here. Half the cost is already taken care of, you know? Like, I want to invest and make a theater here.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I totally agree. It's a great time to be an independent operator. That's for sure.
Yeah. So that could be really a really interesting thing, seeing the monopoly break there. So
yeah. All right. So the next, speaking of independent theater operators, we got Penn Cinema in Lititz, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. We got Penn Cinema in Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania, just outside of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And we also have our number one Delaware theater is Penn Cinema Riverfront. And Penn Cinema Riverfront in Wilmington opens on Thursday night.
Whoa!
So we're going to open Thursday afternoon, and the premiere is 7 p.m., we're going to open Pete Davidson's new movie called The King of Staten Island.
Nice.
So I think that's going to be fun. So I also want to let you know and let all our listeners know, if you're anywhere near Wilmington and you heard us talk about Lord of the Rings, Penn Cinema Riverfront, when we open on Thursday night, we will be running Lord of the Rings consecutively. So it'll be the first one in this theater at, I forget what time, might be 5 o'clock or something. First one, and then the next night, second one. Next night, the third one. Next night, back to the first one. So yeah, we're gonna do that. It'll be fun.
Theatrical or extended?
Extended, baby.
Oh, holla!
Yeah, there's like no way. There's no way I could run that show and do this podcast last week and not book the extended edition. Although I literally like paused when I was doing the schedule, because I was like counting out the conclusion is 263 minutes long,
yeah,
right? So I'm like counting on my fingers, like that's a lot of hours. It's almost 5 hours.
Yeah, the extended edition adds over an hour of content to the last film.
Yeah. So that's why we're not doing – so we are opening Thursday, but we're going to open like a little bit shorter schedule, a little bit, you know, to allow for time for cleaning and all that extra kind of stuff. But some of the titles that we're booking, like I was reminded of, like, for example, we still had Knives Out playing when we closed. And remember how much we liked The Invisible Man?
Mm-hmm.
And then guess what else we're playing? You'll never guess. You'll never guess.
Never.
Trolls.
What? Trolls 2 or 1?
Trolls. The one that they put online.
Oh my gosh. Now's your chance to prove that they should have been to the theater to see it, right?
Right. Yeah. So we're going to have that. We're going to have Sonic. We're going to have Spider-Man Far From Home, Bad Boys for Life, Jumanji Next Level, Little Women, Lego Batman, Shazam. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I think we do in Wilmington, we do half price tickets on Tuesdays. So we have this marketing campaign for when we reopen, and it's going to be like, do you know what day of the week it is? Neither do we. Let's just assume it's Tuesday.
I love it.
So half price movie tickets, and I'm really interested, and I'll report back next week when we do the show. I'm really interested to see what it's like. Like there's two schools of thought. Some people think like people are going to come back like crazy. You know, it's going to be crowds, and we're going to have to really implement our different restrictions, you know, the seating restrictions and stuff. And then there's the other side that's kind of nervous. Like, are people, well, do they want to come out for old movies? You know, do they want to bring the kids to see Trolls when right. they probably already watched it six times at home already?
Right.
So anyway, that'll be interesting. But either way, I'm just super excited to tell you that one of our theaters is opening. I think that's it's such a relief.
Well, I hope these Lord of the Rings shows are good, because I want you to do that here, because I'm going to come. Even though I just watched them, to see them on the big screen again. Oh, man. In conversation with the LA Times, this is going to blow your mind.
Stop.
Yeah. Ridley Scott stated he's considering a third Prometheus Aliens movie, set to reveal the secret origins of the derelict ship LV-426 and why its cargo bay held thousands of xenomorph eggs. Man, I can tell that you care so much.
I don't know. Like, I'm trying to decide if I care. Like, I guess I do, because Alien is one of the... I mean, is Alien on the Mount Rushmore of science fiction movies?
Sure, yeah.
I mean, What's up there? Alien, Star Wars, Star Trek, Avatar.
Well, Predator, no?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
What about 2001.
Oh, yeah.
Are there any older ones we're forgetting, like from the 60s or the 70s? That's an interesting question. The Mount Rushmore of real science fiction-y movies. But regardless of who you put on that Mount Rushmore, I do think Alien is up there. So out of respect for the franchise and respect for Ridley Scott, like, all right, cool. You know, let's see. Oh, my God. Are they going to de-age Sigourney Weaver?
Oh, man. I don't know. The last one.
Remember when de-aging was our biggest problem? Like, we talked about that on the show. Like, that was a real issue. Oh, God, could you imagine anything worse than this set of problems?
And then 2020 came at us.
Right.
Bam.
2020 was like, hold my beer. So Ridley Scott is speculating that he would do a prequel. All right, cool. Yeah, I would. I mean, I'm on board. Cool.
Sure. Why not? You know?
Yeah.
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 Here's another one. This isn't big news, but I thought it was nice to hear some relatively
current
and regular news.
Relevant.
Yeah. Godzilla vs. Kong has officially been rated PG-13 for intense sequences of creature violence slash destruction and brief language. Now, what does this mean? Absolutely nothing, except that movies are starting to get resubmitted for ratings,
right?
Which is kind of a big deal that things are moving again. So,
yeah. Okay. Speaking of moving, John Wick is spinning off.
What?
It's called Ballerina.
Yeah.
Did we know this?
This is something that we speculated about. And we were like, oh, I hear they're doing a spinoff, but I had never heard the name of it before.
So is there a female lead that I'm forgetting about?
No, I don't know that it'll have anyone from the movies as much as it'll be about the school that he went to with the ballerinas and stuff.
Gotcha.
The third one. So.
Okay.
No new trailers this week. So we can just glaze
past. That's so weird.
I know.
We had a trailer. What was the one last week? It was good. It was like decent.
Oh, no. It wasn't. It was that the documentary on water and stuff.
Yeah.
And we were like, no, don't watch this.
But what was the one before that? There was, I guess the new Tenet trailer was out before that.
Well, that can bring us right to our big topic. The movie interview this week.
David watches sports.
Moneyball. I watched a sports movie, and it was over 2 hours long. You know what? This is a really good movie. I was still dead bored during all the baseball parts. I didn't even realize it. Like, I was trying to pay attention to the movie, and then during, like, the actual sports scenes and stuff, I didn't even think about it. And I was like, wait, how long have I been on my phone?
There's hardly any sports in the damn movie.
And I checked out instantly when the any extended sports stuff came up. It was, I don't know. I think didn't Jonah Hill get a supporting actor or something for this?
Yeah. This, you know, I watched this we all watched it. I think we all watched it. And I thought this movie was great. And we were talking afterwards, and I sort of said to Marley, like, it's not really a comedy, although it's funny. And it's not really a drama, although it's dramatic. But I feel like what it is for me is it's such an interesting story. Like, it's just an incredible story. And so I found the film, like, from the first frame to the end, to be fascinating and interesting. And I thought the movie as a cinematic experience, if you will, I thought it was really great. I thought it was really well done and just such a fascinating story. I don't know. I loved every minute of it. I think I told you I read the book. Michael Lewis wrote the book. I think I previously might have said Malcolm Gladwell wrote the book, but I knew it was Michael Lewis. Fascinating book. And, you know, a lot of it was very popular for shortly after this book came out and then with the movie. People were taking the mindset of Billy Bean and applying it to all kinds of things. So in other words, they were going, like, I remember I was working for the county at the time, and I remember there was a bunch of politicians that were like, we're measuring the wrong things. What should we be measuring? And, you know, they'd all be quoting this book and, you know, waving it in the air and everything and totally, totally misapplying the lessons therein, but, you know, whatever. But yeah, so I don't know. I was thrilled to watch it again. I thought it was really great. And I forgot. Here's the other thing. I just love Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Like, I could watch him in anything. He's so good.
This movie's really good. Despite my comments on baseball, they have nothing to do with the film. The film is very, very good. I think that Jonah Hill absolutely deserves his win. It's weird because I was thinking that during it, I was like, he's not doing anything phenomenal, but I don't feel like he's Jonah Hill acting. I feel like he's that guy, which is the part that really got me, how normal he's, how much like a real person he came across.
Right.
And it was interesting to know that a lot of like the extras and stuff were actual baseball players or guys that had like, I think the guy that he argues with and fires played himself or something like that.
There was a lot of people played themselves.
Yeah. So it's that's pretty fascinating. Seeing Chris Pratt before he was big is kind of cool,
yeah,
too.
That was my favorite part. I forgot that he was in it. But I thought he was great. And I'm just thinking this through a little bit here. Brad Pitt was also nominated for Best Actor. Neither one of them won. They didn't win any Oscars, but they got Best Picture nomination, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor. So that's cool. But so Chris Pratt, I mean, he looked like he was like 12 years old.
Yeah. And I don't know, was this the role that he got fit for in Parks and Rec?
Oh, it might be.
Because I know there's like between one season, he was kind of like, not, he was never like, fat, but
right,
he was like,
right,
he had some weight to him, and then the following season he was built, and in the show they're like, what happened to you?
I also liked how they used they did intersperse a lot of like real baseball footage.
Yeah,
so that was cool. I liked how they did that. I thought that was pretty neat, very creative.
My favorite part of the movie, and the part that got me, that struck me the most emotionally, which is probably what they were going for, was at the end when he's like deciding what to do, and Jonah Hill brings him into the other room and shows him the footage
Yeah.
Or the guy who hit a home run and didn't think, yeah. He thinks that they're laughing at him because he failed, and they're laughing at him because he did so good and he doesn't realize it.
So for people who didn't see the movie, this guy, and he doesn't look like a baseball player, you know, he's a bigger guy. He's kind of awkward looking, and, he's known for not running past first base. Like, he'll hit a single and stop at first base, not try to go to second. So he hits this nice fly ball and he decides in his head to go to second. So he rounds first base, and it's a very brave thing for him to do because he doesn't like running the second base. But he decides to go for it. And as he rounds first base, he trips, right? And he falls flat on his face and crawls real quick back to first base, yeah. So he won't get thrown out. And he's humiliated because he shouldn't have tried to go for second base. He knew it. I knew I shouldn't have gone past. I should have just left it, you know, crawl through the dirt and put my hand on first base so I won't get thrown out. And this is why I should never have gone for it. And everybody's laughing at him and trying to help him up. And the reason why they're laughing at him is not because he tripped and fell down, but because what he didn't realize was that he had actually hit the ball out of the park. He had hit a home run. And yeah. You're exactly right. It was a very touching, moment because Brad Pitt's character, Billy Beane, was kind of beating himself up. You know, he sort of felt like, well, since we didn't win the World Series, I didn't get it done, you know? And what Jonah Hill was pointing out was actually you did, you know, you hit a home run. The fact that they're offering you $12.5 million, does sort of validate the experience and you have changed the way things are done. But you're right. That was a really touching scene. Yeah, I thought it was really great. I loved the Billy Beane character. I was screaming at the TV when we watched the movie now. And the first time I watched it, I was screaming at the TV when they were trying to break that. They were up 11-0, and he decides to go to the stadium.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't go, don't go. You're going to jinx it. Yeah. Are you superstitious, David?
You know, I'd like to pretend I'm not, but I'm sure there are times that when it comes down to it, I'm like, maybe we just want to stay with what's working, you know?
Yeah, I'm all kinds of superstitious. Especially when I'm watching the Patriots, if I'm watching a football game and I'm doing a certain something. Now, I don't want to take all the credit. I don't know if you know this or not. You probably don't. You probably don't care, but somebody's going to appreciate this story. The Patriots have one of the most exciting comeback victories in Super Bowl history when they were playing against the Atlanta Falcons. They were down like 1-0. And I was watching it against my better judgment. We were all at the Swan's house, our friends and neighbors. We were at their house watching the Super Bowl. And I knew that was a mistake. And the Patriots were getting beat up pretty bad. It was halftime. So my family stayed at the neighbor's house. But I very politely excused myself, shook Glenn's hand. Thanks for having us over. All right. I went home. I put on my lucky jammies, my lucky free Tom Brady t-shirt. I sat in the correct corner of my couch. I did not move from that corner of the couch until the game was over and the Patriots had won the Super Bowl. So
really,
yes.
You were the MVP.
I mean, I don't want to take all the credit, you know, but I definitely had something to do with it. Absolutely.
Where's your Moneyball movie? Come on.
Right.
That's what I'm waiting for.
All right. So if you haven't seen Moneyball, it's worth it. Go see it. Rent it. Whatever you have to do. It's a good movie. Brad Pitt rocks.
Absolutely. On to listeners' notes.
All right. I have a question about listeners' notes.
Okay.
Now, I don't know. It's hard to – we have a fantastic relationship with our listeners.
Yeah.
But it's really funny to me how sometimes they write in and sometimes they don't, right? Mm-hmm. So Top 10 Sarah writes in with her top 10 list. And what made it interesting was also her boyfriend's top 10 list, which actually is what got us talking about Lord of the Rings.
Right, yeah.
And I think you and I had some colorful opinions. Yep. About, you know,
clearly
step up.
come on, boyfriend Chris.
So we want to know. We did not hear from Top 10 Sarah or boyfriend Chris. I want to know how's it going? Did they watch Lord of the Rings? That's what I really want to know. Is did they watch Lord of the Rings together? Did boyfriend Chris step up and watch her favorite movie like the way I stepped up and watched Pretty Woman back in 1990s?
Right, and I want to know if they want to book us a while for the wedding. My schedule is going to start filling up once these places open up. You know, I gotta be ready.
Right. I mean, I'm just assuming they're going to want us there.
Right. Somebody's got to MC.
The podcast that saved our relationship. That's genius. All right. Now, I guess there's another topic to discuss.
Uh-oh.
What did I do? I screwed up. I got the wrong Connor.
Yeah, but I don't think it's that. I mean, it was a long time ago that we spoke about, I believe it was a Connor that wrote in, sent you a physical letter.
Right, which we loved.
Yeah.
And then I wrote him back.
Yeah. And we had another great Connor write us last week with his top 10, which was awesome.
Except that Raiders was like either second or ninth, depending on how you read the list.
Right.
And I raised the question, like, why isn't it number one? I thought you were all about Raiders. And then Connor wrote back something to the effect of, like, that's all well and good, but, like, I'm not 14.
No, he's like, I'm not the same Connor.
I'm not the same Connor.
Yeah.
And I feel like we might have talked about this last week, though. Did we not? Are you sure we didn't discuss this?
I'm pretty sure last week we talked about how – yeah, we definitely didn't talk about it last week because our boy Connor hit us up like right away. Like the episode,
instant.
The episode was up and there 10 minutes had passed and somehow he had already listened to the whole thing.
Right.
So he pulled a mystery gobble on 300% speed.
Old man Gibble.
Yeah. Old man Gibble.
Now, David, you told me before the show started.
Yeah.
You confided in me.
Yeah.
I hope it's okay. I share it with our listeners.
Well, you did sign a contract, but I'll let it go.
But you confided to me that you had been worried sick, that we had not heard from Joel, Tom Codes Joel, with regard Joel Codes. With regards to his top 10 list.
My man, I haven't slept in 3 weeks. I've just been wondering. I mean, sure, I could probably reach out to him in the real world, but I feel like if he can't make an effort to talk, to email the show, then what's up?
What does that say about our sacred bond of friendship?
Right? Come on, Joel.
Come on. Joel. Okay, so Joel, Joel a lot better than I do, although I do know Joel Codes and a wonderful guy. But one of the things we have learned from the show.
Yeah.
Is that Joel is, what's the word, organized? Is that an understatement?
Yeah,
so leave it to Joel. He can't just write, like, everybody else is sending us their cool top 10 lists and, like, oh, that's all cool. No. That would be too easy.
Yeah.
Joel Codes, I want to talk about a couple things. First of all, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. First of all, he breaks his top 10 list into 7 different categories, or should I say genres.
Heaven forbid these movies be put next to each other.
Right. No. And then, but that's, we'll get to that in just a minute. But first, first, what I want to talk about, and I feel like a lot of our listeners are in the same boat. I know that our boy Jason, Goonies Jason, I know that he has, like, and he helped me out in a pinch. I needed a DVD in a pinch, and I texted him, and he was kind enough to run it out to me and loan me a Blu-ray. But Joel Codes, I think, takes it to another level. Maybe that would be an interesting subject. Write us in podcast@penncinema.com. How do you organize your DVDs? Ooh. Joel Codes has a DVD library app onto which he has all of them rated. So before doing his top 10 list, he narrowed it down to only consider movies that he in his DVD library app had only given a 5-star rating to. So in other words, if the movie didn't at least get 5 stars, it wasn't even in contention. So with that being said, his top 10 list of 5-star movies is 55 movies long.
Wow.
He leaves, unlike top 10 Sarah, she was like, screw you guys, we're putting the whole franchise in. But Joel Codes said no, he's leaving franchises and series out. So Star Wars is out, Lord of the Rings is out.
Right.
What does Star Wars OT mean? Original three? Original trilogy?
Yeah, original trilogy.
Okay. So Joel's leaving Star Wars and Lord of the Rings out. So with that being said, so this is the other thing that I want to talk about. So he's got seven genres. Here's his genres. Classics. Oh, but don't confuse them with cult classics.
No.
That's a different group, my friends.
Yeah.
So you got classics and cult classics. Then you have comedy.
Right.
Then you have action.
Okay.
But then where would you put something like Goonies? Wait a minute. There's a whole genre for that. It's called coming of age. And then there's drama. And then my last and most favorite genre, the classic, everybody has this, so bad it's good genre.
Do you think
so? That's what.
Do you think the movie premieres and like, oh, the next big blockbuster from the so bad it's good genre?
I'd like to see the poster of like the Yeti movie, and it says redefining the so good it's so bad it's good genre.
Oh,
all right, you want to walk us through some of these? You want me to?
I got it. So let's start off with classics, right? I know what you're thinking. You're like Humphrey Bogart, you know, Hitchcock.
Well, the first thing I'm thinking is if you have it in genres, obviously you have what, two or three titles in each genre?
Yeah. Ben-Hur. Nah.
Godfather.
Bro.
Casablanca.
Princess Bride. That's his classic.
As you wish.
Which I love, so I think that's great.
It's a great choice. Perfect.
Then we move on to cult classics, right?
Yep.
Donnie Darko. And Boondock Saints. I don't necessarily care for either of these movies. However, I've watched them more than once. And I think there was a series of time when Joel Codes and I were roommates. And I think we may have watched these movies together even. So I get it. They're not for me, but I get it.
Okay. I don't get it.
Well, people love those. I get that they're cult classics is what I'm saying. Like,
all right.
I'm just not into cult.
I get Boondock Saints. I'll give you that.
Well, my man, you're treading some serious dangerous water because I have known to rant for 20 plus minutes on how much I hate Donnie Darko, so we do not want to go there.
I do not get – so I get Boondock Saints. I do not get Donnie Darko. I don't get it. Like, this is a I don't want to – is can I say it? Can I say it on the show? This is a bad movie.
Yes!
This does not need okay, two things. First of all, this does not need to be on anybody's top 10 list. Second of all, if you must put it on your top 10 list because you have such fond memories of watching this movie with David Moulton and it just holds such a special beloved place in your heart, if you must put it on your top 10 list, the only place you can put it.
So bad it's good.
So bad it's good.
He's got it up here in his cult classics, man.
No.
I don't know.
No. He's wrong.
Let me move on to comedy, where he redeems himself. With Monty Python.
You're telling me you're going to have a genre of so bad, of cult classics, and you're not going to put like Big Lebowski or Clerks or... Like, there's so many. What about Rocky Horror Picture Show?
There you go. Or The Room. Well, The Room goes in so bad, it's good.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry. You can move on. I'm just saying.
Look, I'm holding back here, because if you want to do an hour and a half show on how bad Donnie Darko is, we can do that.
Okay, comedy. Moving on to comedy.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Terrific.
And Patch Adams. Also great.
Sure. I got no problem with Patch Adams. I got no problem with Patch Adams being on your top 10 list. That's great. Good for you. The movie, it's not on my top 10 list, but I get it. I know that it's a great movie. I know that it's hilarious. I know that it's very touching. I know that Robin Williams is amazing. Patch Adams, great. Great.
Should have been under drama, in my opinion, though.
Well, that could be, you could make that case, because it sure was a tearjerker.
Yeah. Then we move on to action. We've got Kingsman. Sorry. And then Kingdom of Heaven, which is a surprise to me. I have to ask Joel, let us know, do you mean just theatrical Kingdom of Heaven or Kingdom of Heaven, the special cut that came out later? Because it was horrible in theaters. And this is one of those movies that, like, it had a bad theatrical launch, and then the DVD or whatever had a director's cut that was actually, like, almost a different movie. And it was pretty good.
Yeah, I never saw this movie.
Well, if you do watch it, make sure you watch the cut, the director's cut or whatever. So.
Okay. Orlando Bloom?
Yep.
Okay.
Coming of age movies. We've got Stand By Me and The Goonies. So.
I'm 100% on board with both of those titles. Those are easily top 10 movies in anybody's list. They didn't happen to be in my top 10 list, but I could easily be talked into putting them. I just love those movies.
And Jason backed you a whole 110% on those. Then we've got drama. We've got Good Will Hunting and Dead Poets Society. Both great movies, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Good Will Hunting's in my top three. Yeah. And honestly, I'll bet you if I rewatch, I haven't watched Dead Poets Society. I mean, I've seen it a few times, obviously, but I haven't watched it in years. Mm. It's one of those movies, like, I could see myself watching this movie and then thinking to myself, I might need to find a place for that in my top 10, because that is another great Robin Williams performance, showing his acting chops.
Yeah.
All right. So he's got, I know we have some more titles here, but so far I'm counting three, and maybe I'm missing even another one, but Robin Williams is all over the place.
Yeah.
Must be one of Joel's favorite guys. That's cool.
Yeah. So Bad It's Good. Last category. We've got The Core, which I've never seen, but I've heard is So Bad It's Good. Have you seen it?
No.
Okay.
No.
And then one of the greatest So Bad It's Good movies of all time, Face Off. Nicolas Cage and John Travolta, which I totally agree with. So that's awesome.
Yeah, no, that I think this is one of the best lists we've had. And it's more than 10 movies, but like Joel said, he doesn't care. Neither do we.
Then he wanted to let us know that he's been watching Lost, Defending Jacob, which I've never heard of, The Simpsons, Veronica Mars, and The Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings extended editions. So,
nice. Very cool. Attaboy.
Very cool. So thanks for writing in, Joel Coates. We had a good laugh. We had some fun. We had some tears. Got a little crazy.
So let's Donnie Darko. I can't wait to see Joel.
So let's move on to what have we been watching, what have we been reading this week? What's been going on?
I have no idea. I don't know what day of the week it is. I don't know what time it is. I don't know what planet I'm on. My daughter graduated from high school, but with the new world that we're living in, it's like a 10-day process. So we have different activities every single day, which I love, which is we're having a ball. Kayla is doing great, and I'm crying all the time. I'm totally disoriented. I have no idea what's going on. I will tell you, we started watching Space Force, which we're like three or four episodes into. I like Space Force, and I kind of like recommend it to people, but I don't think it's awesome. Steve Carell is like pretty good, but John Malkovich is awesome. He's so good in this show. I did say something really stupid when we were watching it. I said, the main character sounds just like Gru from Despicable Me.
Come on, Ben.
I will say, as the words were coming out of my mouth, I realized what I was saying. And Kayla, never want to let, give a guy an inch. Kayla goes, yeah, he reminds me of Michael Scott, too.
Oh, it's perfect.
But we were all, so I'm not, whatever, but I do have the keys to Penn Cinema, so what? I'm afforded sometimes, some special treatment there. So we were all planning to go pack up the family and watch Jumanji in the drive-in.
Okay.
But it got rained out.
Ooh.
So that was a bummer. But we took the Swans, who we talked about a little while ago, and we all went in and watched Jumanji Next Level inside.
Awesome.
And I don't remember seeing it.
Really?
Did we watch it? Did we talk about it?
I saw it, but I don't know if we talked about it. No, we didn't talk about it because I had plans to see it with someone. So
yeah. Anyway, it was great fun. It wasn't like it was exactly what you would think it was going to be. So what about you? What are you up to?
Well, I went back to work this week, so it's weird. You feel like when I was home, I felt like there was nothing I had to fill my time. Right? I was doing the same amount of work, working the same amount, but I still felt like I had all this time on my hands. And now I'm like, what do I do? Like, where did I have times to do to watch stuff? Like, I feel busy.
Do anything.
Yeah. So I've been watching season 4 of Rick and Morty. I just realized it had finished, so I started that. And I caught up on Holy Moly, which is great mind killer relief comedy reality show stuff. So good stuff there. But that's been about
it. All right.
So what are we doing next week, man?
I don't know. Should we watch Donnie Darko?
No. No. I got to put my foot down. There's no way I'm watching that movie.
What about when was – I mean, do you have any ideas?
Not really.
I think it worked out well for us when we picked something off of Top 10 Sarah's Top 10 list. Maybe we should either watch Patch Adams or Dead Poets Society.
You know what? We should not – like, we should just watch the – King of Staten Island.
Okay.
Because that's on VOD, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you up for that?
Yeah, I want to see it. So.
Okay. Dope.
It's a new release, so I say let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. You can do it.
Well, that brings us to the end of the show this week. Thanks everyone for joining us. If you want to get in touch with us. It's super easy. Best way you can
do you think
it.
People are like? Do you think people are like crying right now? Like when you're like, this brings us to the end of the show. I guarantee you, old man Gibble's like, oh, finally.
Yeah. There are people that are like, only 51 minutes? What? That's not what I signed on for.
So soon?
This is ridiculous.
I want my money back.
Well, look, if you want to tell us how upset you are about a shorter show, quote unquote shorter, send it over to podcast@pencinema.com. That's the best way to find us. And if you want to help support the show, number one way to do that, tell a friend. You know, movies are going to be back before you know it. Tenet's like coming out tomorrow. And people are going to want to know. They're going to be like, I haven't talked about movies for 3 months. I thought it was a rule that you couldn't. Turns out, two guys in Pennsylvania never stop talking about movies. What's up?
What's up?
All right. Well, once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care.
Party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.